Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So let's take stock of a big week in politics. Election results showed that Republicans will have a narrow majority in the House come January, and Speaker Nancy Pelosi is stepping down from House Democratic Party leadership after 20 years.
One person who is not leaving the spotlight is Donald Trump. This week, the former president announced he is running to return to the White House in the 2024 race. The man he lost to, President Biden, turns 80 this weekend, and his gift from the GOP may be a slew of investigations in Congress starting in January. So, sidle up to our politics roundtable. We are or will be joined by Chad Pergram. He has some connection problems. Chad is senior congressional correspondent for Fox News, and Darlene Superville, White House reporter for the Associated Press. Hello.
Hello.
So, Darlene, let's talk a little bit about Nancy Pelosi as we await Chad. Even her political enemies, Pelosi's political enemies, acknowledge she's a master legislative tactician. She's known for working through the night to get votes and playing hardball against party defectors. Can you give us a sense from your reporting on how effective she has been behind the scenes?
Yeah, and you left out the fact that she is a phenomenal fundraiser, and she's been doing that for 20 years. And I think she said something about having to raise $1 million a day throughout her time in leadership. So
wow.
She has just been transformational, perhaps, as a leader, and just, mm-hmm. you know, her talents just are just outsized talents. And her decision to step down from leadership, it will be interesting to watch her sort of take a seat in the backbench, if you will. Not many speakers who leave the speakership stick around in Congress, so that will be a different dynamic for us here in Washington to have to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Chad, I think we have you on the line. Can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you just fine.
Great, Chad. From Fox News, we've been talking about Nancy Pelosi as this legislative tactician. You've covered her for years. I wonder if you have an anecdote that just goes to this.
Nancy Pelosi, without question, was the best vote counter to ever step into the United States Capitol. I remember back in 2016 when Tim Ryan, the Democrat from Ohio, ran for Senate this cycle, was running against her for minority leader. And it was kind of unexpected that he was going to do this. We didn't think that Tim Ryan was going to beat her, but she's a very good vote counter. And she was walking across from her office to the cloakroom to go onto the floor, and myself and another reporter hollered to her, "How's the vote going to be tomorrow in the caucus? How many votes are you going to get?" And I thought she said 3/4. And I said 3/4, and the door to the cloakroom closed, and next thing I know is the door reopens. She sticks her head out. She wags her finger at me. She goes, "Oh, no, Chad, 2/3, 2/3. And the next day, she got precisely 67% of the
vote. Wow. Well, you know, in her floor speech, Pelosi avoided criticizing Republicans. She characterized it this way in the election.
"Last week, the American people spoke. And their voices were raised in defense of liberty, of the rule of law, and of democracy itself."
Darlene, what struck you about that assessment? You know, in this particular moment in politics, after last week's election was really so close.
Well, I think Nancy Pelosi can be characterized as somewhat of an institutionalist. She really likes the Congress. You heard her start her speech yesterday talking about how she was 6 years old when she made her first trip to D.C. and saw the Capitol, and it's the most beautiful building in the world to her. And on the occasion of a speech where she was basically handing over the gavel to the next generation, my sense is that she wanted to be a little bit above the politics, so to speak, and just show her reverence for the institution and keep everything above board.
Mm-hmm. Chad, I want to just kind of ask you about the new leadership in the Congress starting in January. There will be a new younger generation on the Democratic side. We don't know. Kevin McCarthy may be, perhaps is likely to be the speaker on the Republican side. What will be an early signal as to whether the leaders in each party are succeeding or no?
Well, the question is whether or not Kevin McCarthy can get the votes to be Speaker. He needs 218. Andy Biggs, the Republican from Arizona, was just on our air this morning on Fox, indicating that he would never vote for Kevin McCarthy here. Kevin McCarthy, in the internal leadership vote a couple of days ago, was about 30 votes short. He won't be 30 votes short on the floor. But okay. If he doesn't get to 218, perhaps his closing case is if not me, who? Now, maybe this is a fight delayed by 7 years. There's a reason why Kevin McCarthy did not become the minority, did not become the Speaker of the House when John Boehner moved along in 2015. Kevin McCarthy could not get the votes. He still has some of the same baggage here. And especially in a small minority, when he has a very narrow majority, it's going to be very tough to make up that difference. Now, I will say this. Maybe his closing argument is, guys, there was a big press conference with Jim Jordan, the incoming chair of the Judiciary Committee yesterday, James Comer, the incoming chair of the Oversight Committee, saying we're going to have all these investigations and Hunter Biden and everything else. They not do anything in the Congress until they get a speaker. And so maybe his argument is, guys, if you want to do all these things, you have to elect me. You have to elect somebody, or we could sit around here for days. They have not gone to a second ballot for speaker since 1923 with Frederick Gillett. And I will direct you to two instances in the mid-19th century, 1849 and 1856, where they took dozens upon dozens upon dozens of votes for Hal Cobb of Georgia, who finally won in 1849, and Nathaniel Banks, who finally won as speaker in 1856. And after taking, in the case of Banks, 2 months, they finally adopted a resolution that you could become the speaker in that race if you just got the most votes. And so maybe that's Kevin McCarthy is out. There is a precedent for this that goes back, to the 19th century.
Yeah, and Chad, I believe you were reporting on the Hill back then. You've been reporting there for a very long time.
Nathaniel Banks, well.
You've been there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Deepa, over to you.
So I want to just switch gears a little bit. Trump, of course, now has made his announcement. He's running for re-election. And finally, it appears like some Republicans are getting nervous. Former Trump advisor and potential 2024 rival Chris Christie told Fox News why he thinks it's a bad idea. Let's listen.
I did everything I could to help make Donald Trump the very best president he could be, but he let us down. And now politically, he's become a loser. He is losing campaign after campaign after campaign.
So, Chad, it's not just key Republican voices that, this chorus is growing now.
Well, this is the problem that Republicans have. They realize that in some quarters, Donald Trump gets their voters to the polls. I spoke with a freshman incoming member of the House just a couple of days ago, Eric Burleson, Republican of Missouri. And he's like, I hope Donald Trump runs again and is able to correct some of the things where he was wronged, at least from the Republican perspective. But you talk to other Republicans who support Donald Trump publicly, and they will tell you privately, this is killing us inside. You look at some of the statistics here, and Trump candidates ran about 5 to 6 points behind where they thought that Republicans should fare in this cycle. And so, there's a reason, they didn't win in Pennsylvania in the Pennsylvania Senate race. There's a reason why Ron Johnson in Wisconsin ran a little bit lower there. He did win re-election, and you can go to some other House races as well. President Trump is a problem for the Republican Party, with the exception of these races in New York and Florida with those middle voters. That's an issue for the party, and they don't know how to resolve that just yet.
Right, and it's not just Republican lawmakers who are pulling back from Donald Trump. You also have big Republican mega donors who are coming out and saying they're not going to support Donald Trump this time around either. So some of the money is drying up, too, the lifeblood of politics.
Yeah, the big donors and where the money goes. Quickly, Darlene, on the other side, President Biden, I guess, kind of going forward, these next 2 years of a split Congress, does the president carry any political baggage that Democrats are nervous about?
Well, the one thing that's hanging out there, obviously, is the president turns 80 this weekend, and there are some Democrats and others who think that he's too old to run, and, he's trying to... He's going to have to make a decision. The other issue is his standing in the polls. He's still below 50% in the 40s in the polls, so he's still widely unpopular across much of the country, and those are two big factors that are giving Democrats some pause about a second Biden administration or Biden term, Biden run for the presidency.
We're fast running out of time here, but Darlene, quickly, as we're moving into the lame duck period of Congress, this is also kind of the last moment that the Democrats will hold the gavel in both the House and Senate. Obviously, they have the White House. What can they get done? Will there be a sense of urgency to push through some things?
Well, I think one thing that the president wants, and he probably will get to sign shortly, is legislation that's moving through the Senate right now, the Respect for Marriage Act, to recognize same-sex and mixed-race marriages. It's something the president supports. The Senate has voted on it, and that's moving through the process. But when it comes to the next Congress and the politically split House and Senate, the White House will have to sit down and figure out what they want and how they can try to get it.
That's Darlene Superville, White House reporter for the Associated Press. And we've also been talking to Chad Pergram, senior congressional correspondent for Fox News. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.